It has been a long time since we've done one of these, but welcome to Hourglass Cinema. And now playing, we are going to be talking about the movie, The Human Trial. My name is Captain Nostalgia, and today I am joined by a man who has been on the show several times to talk about everything from Digimon to demons, and now he's here to talk about diabetes. All the D's, man. Mr. Ronald Webster.
Hello.
It's a quite a unique resume you've obtained here for victims and villains. So we're going to spend the first few minutes talking about, as I said, The Human Trial. My name is Captain Nostalgia, and I'm one of the hosts, I'm one of the podcasters, writers, and the director of our film festival, Horrific Hope, here at Victims and Villains. And this is a mini episode where we talk about movies, just kind of giving our honest, open discussions on them. And today we're talking about The Human Trial. The Human Trial is going to be hitting availability with limited release and theaters, as well as available everywhere digitally, beginning June 24th. And the movie follows is a documentary that follows a few select individuals suffering with, I guess suffering is a word, but we'll get into that, with type 1 diabetes and an experimental drug to essentially cure type 1 diabetes. And we believe representation matters here, Victims and Villains, and Ron has actually shared his story way back when about how type 1 diabetes has affected his own mental health and his own life. And so that's why I asked him to be a part of this and kind of give us a before we start talking about the movie, can you kind of talk about your own relationship with type 1 diabetes?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was 8 years old. I'm 32 now. I don't really remember what life without diabetes is like. And so it's been a struggle most of my life, especially when I was a teenager. You know, once those hormones start pumping, and you start going through puberty, things get a little weird. I was suicidal for a little while because I just couldn't get my blood sugars under control. It didn't seem worth it. I was told growing up that I needed to take care of myself or I could, you know, lose my feet. I could die. I could go into a coma. You know, I was always, I was told that out of love because people wanted to keep me safe. But when you're constantly being faced with that reality as a child, it messes with you. And so in my teenage years, I went through a very deep depression. I actually tried to overdose on insulin 3 times. And once Jesus got my heart, a lot of that stuff changed. You know, I wasn't depressed. I wasn't suicidal anymore, but it didn't change the fact that living with type 1 diabetes is a struggle. You know, and you and I don't just have the pleasure of knowing each other for like 17 years, but or 15 years now. But we also work together. And, you know, there are days where, I mean, you know, because I don't come in like myself, where I come in and my blood sugar's been so messed up the night before that I didn't sleep. It's been so messed up as I'm waking up that my body hurts. I don't want to do anything. I'm slow. I'm sluggish. You know, all I want to do is sleep. And, you know, so I was only ever hospitalized for it when I was diagnosed. I have not been to the hospital with any major concerns. So I've been really blessed in that aspect, I guess. You know, well, I'm going to call it blessed. Some people might think I'm crazy for a little while when I was a teenager, my blood sugars were so sporadic that I remember checking my blood sugar one time and my blood sugar was 18 and I was still walking around. And when my dad called my doctor was like, "What do you mean he's 18 and still conscious? Like he should be in a coma right now, and or at least like, passing out." And so I've had some really intense blood sugars like that and still been okay, still been functional. In the documentary, one of the things that hit me was just how bad it can be for some people. They talked about a couple times where they've been so out of it that someone else had to take care of them. Luckily for me, that's only happened three times, two of which were after trying to OD on insulin when I was a teenager, and once was a little while after that, just because of a bad I just didn't eat enough after I gave myself insulin for lunch, so just an honest mistake. I haven't had anything like that since then. I have not had anything like that as I've been an adult, but it doesn't change the fact that it's constantly on my mind. One of the things that sucks about type 1 diabetes is that it's not just something that you can take a pill for in the morning or in the evening and then not think about it the rest of the day. You're constantly thinking about it, no matter what. It affects every area of your life, whether that's, how you sleep, how you eat, what you're thinking about eating, what you're thinking about doing throughout the day. You have to constantly change your insulin intake based on what you're doing throughout the day. If you're doing something abnormal for for yourself, it's just a lot. It's just a huge stress. So.
Well, let's jump into the movie. I think for me, this movie, as someone that, knows people that have diabetes, I think you say there you say diabetes in it, or you say diabetic, and there's this generalization that ends up happening. So, like, I have people in my own family that are diabetic, and then I also have people on my wife's side of the family that were diagnosed diabetic once after we got married. And then I've also known you, who's also diabetic. And to me, like, they would say type 1, they would say type 2, but like, I think this movie like really opened up my eyes on the differences between both of the types.
Yeah.
And also on top of that, you kind of it put into perspective a lot better of the mental health struggles that I got to see you go through first times, and also like the individuals who are undergoing this trial in the movie. It really kind of brought the struggle and the mental health of type 1 diabetes to the surface, where it's just like, okay, I don't necessarily know, like I know that there's like differences in like how the body like accepts slash rejects like sugar, but also at the same time, like I know your story about like not wanting to live anymore and trying to OD on insulin. And but over here, like I have my father-in-law, people in my own family that are diabetic that don't struggle with that mental health. And I think this movie was really eye-opening to kind of see, but also at the same time, like is seeing the history of kind of how the pharmaceutical industry has kind of really raped essentially people that have type 1 diabetes as well.
Yeah, man. One of the things that I mean, so I watched it twice in order to get ready for this. And the first time I just cried the whole way through. And one of the things that really broke me was when Greg, patient number two, pulls out, him and his wife pull out this huge basket of nothing but medical bills. And I like lost it, because I mean, my wife and I are in a lot of debt right now that we're having trouble paying off. And we're doing it steadily, but we're having trouble paying it off because You know, there was a time period where our insurance sucked so bad that we had to pay $1,000 for a month's worth of insulin. And we were lucky if it lasted a month. And luckily, we've got like some great people in our church that really helped take care of us after we let everyone know what we were going through. But it doesn't change the fact that it's still just expensive. It's so expensive. And we're treated like a political. My son's yelling for me. So I'm sorry. You hear that in the background, but we're treated like political pawn pieces a lot of times, you know, between the left and the right. I think one of the biggest instances this year, or this past year, is regardless of how you feel about Trump or Biden, one of the things that Trump was going to do was sign a bill to make insulin affordable throughout across the entire United States. It was one of the first bills that President Biden got rid of. And then in like November, he freaked out and couldn't believe how high insulin prices were and why no one had done anything about it. And so things like that constantly happen, where we get screwed. We just get screwed over because no one cares, you know. Not that no one cares, but I don't know. I don't know why are used as like what we're used for.
Sure, it's like, and it's like Greg says in the movie, like, you know, this is a giant pharmaceutical, you know, win. Like, this is a billion-dollar industry. And one of the things that, the lines that I really think is that, you know, they mention in here that that insulin was never meant to be a business. It was a breakthrough. You know, in 1921, when Sir Frederick G. Bentington, Charles H. Best, and H.H.R. McLeod like discovered insulin, it was a real breakthrough. So when they sold the patent to the University of Toronto, they sold it for a dollar because their goal was to, you know, give freely this gift of life to people that were suffering with type 1 diabetes or whose bodies couldn't produce insulin enough insulin or you know had to off be offset by you know whatever reasons. And ever since then we've turned it into this billion-dollar industry.
And it's awful because it doesn't take that much money to make insulin. You know, it doesn't take that much money at all. And it's just frustrating because, you know, people are siphoning insulin in order to keep it longer so they don't have to pay for it as often. And these people who are siphoning it are, you know, going into comas, they're dying, they're being hospitalized every other day. And it's not something that's talked about on the news. You know, it's not something that's presented to the general public. The frustrating thing, I think, for me is that type 2 diabetes, which is oftentimes preventable, oftentimes reversible, the drugs don't cost nearly as much. You see commercials for type 2 diabetes all the time, you know, whether on TV or on streaming services. And no one knows about the stuff that type 1 diabetics go through, or how much money we're spending, or how often we're hospitalized. It's just incredibly frustrating to be a people group, you know, that is oftentimes overlooked. So it's just very frustrating.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm also like surprised about this to see how this movie will play out in the long term, because right, because this is a movie that it takes place over the course of 7 years, where about 2 dozen people kind of take this experimental procedure that inserts a artificial pancreas into them in order to see if their body can essentially produce insulin through this artificial pancreas. And I don't want to give away, spoil where the movie ends up going in the end, because I do think that it is important for people to watch this movie. But just kind of with some of the things that this film discusses, I'm almost curious to see if this film will kind of be buried the way that other things are. Like, there's trials going on right now in New York that people are coming out of going in with heavy cancer and coming out completely cured. Then, you know, even coming back into the 90s, where there was two people that invented cars, successfully converted their cars to run completely on water, and magically like disappeared under weird circumstances. So I'm almost kind of curious where this movie ends up in the grand scheme of things, because I don't think any of this research would have surfaced had it not been for this documentary.
Yeah. Yeah. There have been trials and stuff like this have been going on for a very, very long time. Since the 90s. I don't know if they've ever gotten this far, but in the beginning of the movie, one of the things that the main filmmaker says is, you know, in the diabetic community, it's become a running joke that the cure is always 5 years away. And that's a very real thing. You know, when I was first diagnosed, I was told that, you know, I might be diagnosed, but I may not be a diabetic for long. And that was, you know, a long, long time ago. And it just keeps going, you know. I've been a diabetic for over 20. How long has it been now?
It's almost 25 years.
Almost 25 years. And that's just the thing that happens. And like I said, it's been a long time coming. I don't know how close people got before this. There have been rumors of a lot of different things. One of the things that people were working on for a long time was a diabetic inhaler, where you actually inhaled insulin rather than having to take shots, which would have saved a lot of people, you know, a lot of money, because having to take shots or even do an insulin pump, there's so much that goes into that. Whereas an inhaler is just an inhaler. And as far as I know, I think they had a positive test, and after they had a positive test, we didn't hear about it anymore. So
it's really heartbreaking. And just to kind of like also put this into perspective for listeners, the movie Captivides, like, you know, I'm all about like statistics and like knowing like the education of like how serious an issue is. And this movie captivates and says that over 5 million people die each year from either a lack of insulin or just something related to type 1 diabetes. And yeah. I mean, that's so heartbreaking, because again, like, you know, as it going back to what they were saying is like, you know, insulin was never desired to be a business. It was never desired to be this billion-dollar empire that we've established it as. It was a breakthrough, and it was a revolutionary thing that was supposed to allow individuals with type 1 diabetes to continue to live day to day and just to be normal.
Yeah. Again, like about 5 million people die of type 1 diabetes a year. No one talks about it. It's not talked about. It's not, the general public is not aware at all. And that's kind of one of the things that I appreciated about the movie the most, was how much they focused on just bringing awareness to the struggle of having type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, I think this movie does a really good job at like capturing the struggle between its two primary subjects in how do you say her name?
Marin.
Marin and Gregory. I think the two subjects that this filmmaker captures, and he even the filmmaker, correct me if I'm wrong, the filmmaker herself also had struggled with type 1 diabetes, correct?
Yes, she did. She had a movie with her taking her blood sugar with her son, and it being 296, which is not great, not a good feeling. And her talking to her doctor, and her doctor basically suggesting that she might be developing neuropathy in her feet. So, kind of
Which
a
again, yeah. So like, can you kind of talk about a little, the movie touches upon it, but can you kind of talk about the actual like physical effects that it can, we've talked about a lot about the mental health, but like the physical effects that type 1 diabetes can have on the body.
So the movie goes over a couple different things. So one of the effects of having type 1 diabetes, if you don't take care of yourself, is developing neuropathy in your feet, which is, it starts off as a tingling sensation. It can develop into being pins and needles. It's basically your nerves are dying because your blood sugars are so messed up that your body's breaking down. People who have severe neuropathy actually have to have their feet, toes, legs amputated. A mentor of mine had type 2 diabetes and actually had to have one of his legs amputated, and it's how he died. He kind of just lost the will to live after that. And his was an extreme, extreme case. One of the things that develops is retinopathy, which is essentially the nerves in your eyes and behind your eyes breaking down and blowing out, going blind, having blood in your eyes and all kinds of different crazy things. And that's just, those are just like some of the more intense side effects of not taking care of yourself. Now, some things that are more directly related are like, if my blood sugar's low, I could pass out and go into a coma, and eventually die from that. If my blood sugar's too high, for me personally, my whole body cramps up. I feel like I'm super dehydrated. I get really lethargic. I can't, I don't want to move for long periods of time. I end up having a really bad headache. And those are some of the more mild symptoms. In the movie, Marin starts talking about some of her symptoms, and when her blood sugar gets low, she actually goes into full-blown seizures, and her husband or one of her family members has to actually help her get her blood sugar back up so that she, is stable. She can't do it herself. And Greg admitted in the movie to having really bad headaches, both when he's low and when he's high. I mean, he even admitted to just having constant headaches since being diagnosed with diabetes, at one point. And that's just the physical things that goes into it. That's not even the mental health aspect or the emotional health aspect that goes into things, because it is, man. It's just so draining. It's so draining, to have to think about and focus on all the time and account for, try to account for every little detail of every day. If you might like having it if you are, if you if you like pain and you like being in control all the time. I'm not that type of person. I don't like either of those things. I like to be more go with the flow, and type 1 diabetes makes it hard to go with the flow. So Hospitalizations are pretty frequent with type 1 diabetics, like we said a couple times earlier. And like the movie says, so yeah, those are some of the side effects that can happen from it. There's probably more that I'm not accounting for or thinking of at the moment. And every diabetic is different, you know, like they both have different reactions to how their blood sugars go, both Marin and Greg in the movie. And I'm sure the filmmaker did too, although I don't ever remember getting her name in the movie. You know, and like I said before, my symptoms are typically pretty light when my blood sugars are high or low. So I'm not one who gets crazy with it, you know. Not that they go crazy, but you know, I'm not. My symptoms are just mild. They don't typically get as bad as others do.
Now, would you say that, like, for the more extreme symptoms, is that something that you have to like live with for like 30 years or something like that, or is it, again, does it go back to that, the what you were talking about previously, where it's every diabetic is different?
You know, man, it's funny. I don't know very many diabetics, so I think it's hard to tell. Maybe I do know more diabetics than I realize, and we look so normal. That's kind of one of the things they touched on in the movie too, is that a lot of people don't realize who we are or what we have because we just look normal most of the time. And so the patients in the movie made it a point to talk about how their, you know, the things that they go through have been long term. So I think it can be long term. I think it is long term for a lot of people because their bodies just get used to it. But I know that for some people, other people, it's a one-time deal and then it changes. And, you know, so I think it's a mixture of both, you know, so.
Okay. Well, I don't want to get into too much of this movie. I think we've talked about it just enough to kind of tease it, but also talk about its importance. The movie is called The Human Trial. It comes out everywhere June 24th. I highly recommend you guys checking it out. But we have to give Rorschach rating scales. So 0 to 5, where would this movie land for you, sir?
Probably 4 out of 5, just because of the emotional impact it had on me. yeah, definitely 4 out of 5. I thought the filming was really great. I thought the narration, when there was narration, was very pinpointed. It really captured a lot of emotion. It packed in a lot of information, and it kept you intrigued and invested in the stories of the individuals that it followed around. So I would say probably 4 out of 5 for me.
I'm going to go slightly a little bit lower and say 3.5. I think, like you're saying, like, this movie, for a documentary that's made on a independent budget, looks absolutely stunning. I was really surprised by a lot of the cinematography and how rich this movie looks. But also on top of that, this movie it's very eye-opening. It's very captivating. It's heartbreaking. It packs a lot of emotions in its 93-minute runtime. And I fully agree. I think this is a movie that a lot of people need to give a chance, because I was really hesitant on approaching this movie the first time. And I'm glad that I did watch it, because again, it really puts into perspective the struggle that type 1 diabetics go through. You know, like it said, like, the movie opens up like one of the very first things, like you said, like, I look healthy, but I'm not. And yeah. I think this really allows people to kind of see not just the future of what medicine could look like for type 1 diabetics, but what their mental health it looks like now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I agree.
All right. Well, if you guys are, if you guys check this movie out, we'll provide links in the show notes below. You guys can follow our parent company, Victims and Villains. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, wherever you guys get your podcasts from, and Patreon as well. If you're a filmmaker and would like to support, would like to submit your shorts, features, or screenplays to next year's Horrific Hope. All of those links are going to be in the show notes as well. Ron, where can people find your podcast if they are curious?
Yeah, so I run a podcast for my church called Highland Park Community Church. you can go to Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your podcast, and just simply search for Highland Park Community Church, and we're up there. So
all right, well, thank you guys. Make sure that you guys check out The Human Trial. Once again, it comes out June 24th. Let us know what you guys think, and have a good night. I hope you guys enjoyed the show.